Willkommen zu Vollkommen Unperfekt, dem Achtsamkeitspodcast mit Blumen, Pralinen und Wein. Ich bin Maria-Anna Schwarzberg und bringe alles für ein gutes Gespräch am Küchentisch mit. Mir und meinen Gästen stelle ich die Frage: Was würdest du eigentlich über dein Leben erzählen wollen, wenn du mit 80 auf einer Parkbank sitzt und sich jemand mit dieser Frage an dich wendet? In der heutigen Podcast-Folge habe ich einen Gast und dieser Gast heißt Tom Odell. Er hat gerade sein neuestes, viertes Album veröffentlicht, Monsters heißt es, und in dem geht es um seine Panikattacken und wie er die verarbeitet hat. Es geht auch darum, was die eigentlich verursacht haben. Es geht um diese laute, schnelle, ungerechte Welt und was die mit sensiblen Menschen machen kann. Ich war sehr aufgeregt vor diesem Interview, das kann ich euch sagen. Gar nicht so sehr wegen Tom Odell, also der ist klasse, ohne Frage, aber wegen der Sprachbarriere. Es ist ja schon ein sehr intensives Thema, über das wir gesprochen haben, auch ein sehr intimes Thema. Und ich hatte die Sorge, durch die Sprachbarriere nicht genug einsteigen zu können. Und ich habe das auch ein, zwei Mal im Interview gehabt, dass ich dachte, oh, wenn es jetzt auf Deutsch wäre, wäre ich noch damit reingegangen. Aber mir haben dann im Englischen einfach die Worte gefehlt, die wirklich punktgenauen Worte. Das ist total schade, aber ich bin trotzdem froh, es gemacht zu haben und euch dieses Interview heute präsentieren zu können. Ich habe mich manchmal auch gefragt, warum Tom so sich in seinen eigenen Gedanken verliert, und er löst es auch am Ende auf, wo er sich befindet und was seine Gedanken abschweifen lässt. Ich würde sagen, den Rest könnt ihr euch jetzt direkt anhören. Ich gebe ab an Tom Odell. Okay, great. Hey Tom, it's very nice to hear you. I'm a little nervous because I'm not a native speaker, and now we're going to talk about some pretty intense issues, and well, hopefully my English is good enough.
Is your name Maria?
Yeah, I'm Maria.
Nice to meet you, Maria.
Yeah, first of all, happy release.
Thank you very much.
How are you today? Do you have a packed promo day?
Yes, I do. Yes. And I've got to sign a bunch of albums. So I'm on my way to do that and doing bits of promo on the way. But yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you very much. Do we want to start?
Let's go. I thought we'd already started.
yeah, I'm not sure. But how does it feel to work on such a sensitive album in private, and now it's released and a lot of people can listen to your thoughts and feelings that came from difficult times, and also that people like me, you don't even know, want to talk to you about those personal issues?
It's quite strangely easy, actually. it feels like, you know, I'm only ever really having that conversation with one person, so they also say when you use social media, I read something the other day, it's like we imagine it still as one person when we engage with social media. Our brains aren't able to imagine great masses of people, so it becomes sort of irrelevant in a way. But anyway, that's a sort of deeper, you know, I don't know, different point perhaps. How does it feel to talk about sensitive issues so openly? I don't know. I think it, you know, I guess, as I said, I think I've just been doing it for a long time. I feel like it's almost become my public duty to keep being honest to the world, and to keep, you know, to keep following my artistry and what inspires me, and it's felt actually incredibly sort of how would I describe, sort of emboldening, energizing to talk about something that feels so important to me and something I've struggled with so much. You know, I have a lot to say on the subject, and it feels also like a very potent and important issue, of which a lot of people are suffering from mental health problems. And so it feels good to be talking about it, you know, ultimately.
Yeah, especially in these times. But outside of my social media bubble, depression and anxiety are nothing that people, especially men, talk about. Mental health and the difficulties that can arise from it are very rarely discussed in public. I noticed it when I went through burnout 7 years ago, and my thought was, I'm never going to tell anyone except my family and friends. And somehow it eventually became my job to write about mental health. So how comfortable and confident do you feel singing and speaking about your panic attacks?
Well, at first, it was much easier to write about it and sing about it than it was to talk about it. I too didn't tell anyone, and you know, that made it a lot worse, I'd say, at times. But interestingly, through gaining the confidence to write songs about it, I then gained the confidence to talk about it. But what I would say is I'm still better at singing about it, and probably even talking to you about it or to social media than I am to my friends and family. I actually, the opposite, I find it more difficult to speak to my friends and family about stuff than I do maybe the outside world. I feel like I've developed a relationship with my fans, of which I'm able to talk about very intimate things, and there's an understanding and a respect to that. I'm not saying I don't have that amongst my friends, but I just do find it easier to actually talk in a public sphere about stuff than I do, you know, I don't know, with my girlfriend maybe I can be very open, but it's strange, isn't it? I mean, I was very lucky in that I started writing songs about it, and then I found that it was helping, and you know, and then I started talking about it as well.
I totally feel it. Can you name a date or a moment where it started, or was it more a process with your panic attacks?
The you know, I would say that the anxiety, you know, in retrospect, I probably suffered from for, you know, since I was a teenager, on some level. And you know, I would sort of obsess over things. I would become convinced of things that weren't going to happen. And you know, I was genuinely quite a high functioning person, but quite restless, and found it difficult to relax and feel comfortable with my own skin. You know, like a lot of people feel. But I would say that I then put that restlessness into my career, of which, you know, I applied a sort of unstoppable amount of energy, you know, like I for many years since I've done my job, I've made, you know, so written albums, recorded albums, gone on tour, and you know, done the partying as well, you know, I've done, and you know, I always put myself second. My health second and my mind second, and then, you know, it just built up over time. And then in 2018, sorry, that's when it started really getting to a point where it was very difficult. Well, it basically just started physically manifesting. It started, the anxiety had gone from, you know, that had been in my mind, and I was suppressing the whole time, and it found its way into presenting itself as physical, as this physical anxiety, and it was very sudden actually that happened, and I'd say over the course of about a month I started developing physical symptoms which were really scary, like feeling like I was going to black out and stuff, and then to, you know, not be able to breathe, and then I had my first big panic attack, which was really sort of destructive, actually, and it put me in hospital and stuff, and it was really scary. It was really scary, actually, ultimately.
It sounds scary.
Yeah, it was scary.
Did you immediately ask for help?
No. I didn't. I stopped for a bit, but I carried on. I carried on working. I carried on traveling. I carried on trying to write my fourth album. And, you know, it was stupid to do that. I should have just, you know, I should have stopped completely. And you know, just taken a complete break. But I didn't. Instead, I started making an album about it, and it made it so much worse, you know. I should have stopped.
So instead of taking pressure out, you put more and more pressure in.
Yeah, basically, and I had Valium. And I had this other drug called propofol or something, which was like a beta blocker. And I carried those around with me the whole time. And it allowed me to carry on. I didn't, you know, I wasn't taking them the whole time. I wasn't addicted to them, but just having them on me meant that, you know, I could keep, you know, I knew I could leave the house, because I was like, oh, if I have a panic attack, then at least I've got these, which will calm me down. And, you know, I carried on. I just carried on and then carried on for a year, I think. Actually, it was a year of which, you know, they just got progressively worse. They'd go away for a bit and then they'd come back, and then you know, each time they come back, they come back worse. And then when I went to Los Angeles to start, that's right, I always get the time wrong. So no, I started getting them in 2018, and I was on tour, and I was touring for a whole year. And then it was over a year later that I went to Los Angeles, and it was when I was in LA, beginning to try and make my fourth album, that it was my recent album. It's when it became debilitating, and then I think it was combined with, you know, a sort of loneliness as well, that, you know, sort of meant that I was really just like spending all my time just trying not to have panic attacks. And I remember one particular evening, like, it just got to a point. It was actually before I flew back to London, and it just got to a point where it's like, this is, you know, I was sort of medicating myself, and it was like, this is getting to a point where it's going to, I could feel like, you know, it was going to be bad, you know, it was slipping out of my control, and that was quite scary.
What helped you in the darkest moments, and what helped you to fight the panic attacks and came back to life?
You know, I'm not really sure, if I'm being honest with you. Like, I'm not really sure, like, it was any sort of, like, one thing. I think, like, I guess there was just an element of sort of surrender that happened, that I feel like was just like, okay, I'm going to stop. I'm going to give up. I'm going to just like stop trying the whole time. Stop running from this and just accept it. And weirdly, you know, it sounds like a sort of overnight thing. It wasn't. It was, you know, it took 6 months to, or maybe more, to sort of happen. But it did happen, and yeah, they just thought they have sort of gone away. I mean, that's what's actually been quite nice, is they actually have stopped. I mean, not for only for a year, but 6 months, but they have somewhat dissipated. I mean, it doesn't ever go, but I feel like I've got it under control now, so that's good, you know?
Mm-hmm. And would you feel prepared if you had a panic attack now in the future? Do you handle it differently? What are your coping mechanisms?
I would say that they are, you know, what are they? I'm so aware of what it is now that I'm able to tell myself that I've had one so many times and they've always ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what I rely on, you know? So yeah.
And then there was COVID and the lockdowns and everything. Were you afraid of falling back into it, or was it fine to have so much time for you?
I mean, I mostly just focused on making, you know, an album. So it was good. And also, like, the not traveling and being in one place, I think, was actually somewhat, you know, helpful for me. So in that respect, I feel, you know, relatively lucky. So yeah, I mean, but you know, that's not to say, like, I think the beginning of the pandemic was obviously incredibly anxiety inducing. I think when we didn't really know what was going on, it was pretty scary. Which, you know, I was pretty terrifying, and I, you know, really suffered at the beginning of it, like a lot of people did, you know. So yeah. Yeah, it was tough at the start, yeah. But for, like, you know, like, it was for everyone.
Yeah, I think so too. It changed a lot. I already listened to your new album, and I really like it. It touched me. And there are a lot of changes. You changed your style. You're way more electronic now. And you're also more political and critical of society with this album. Do you have the feeling you grow through something and that this shaped you? So now you have a lot to say about bigger issues like capitalism and toxic masculinity and so on, topics that have more weight?
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, I think when one goes through something difficult, I guess it's like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, you know? and I don't know. I feel a fearlessness, I'd say, from probably writing about the panic attacks, I think. But also, if I'm being honest, it's probably just like, you know, I'm 10 years into my career. Like, you know, one's confidence built, you get better at your job, and I don't know, I just sort of feel like I'm able to do that now. And I maybe as well, like, I'm I I feel before this point that I didn't know, I didn't feel that I had a right to, I didn't know enough about the world. I was too naive, I was too young to really know how I felt about things. And, you know, I've always been interested in politics and literature, and I've always been interested in the world, you know. But I always kept that part of me private because I felt like it wasn't really something that I was ready to comment on. And I don't know, maybe I'm, you know, I made this album when I was 29, 30 years, I'm 30 now. Like, you know, I think there's just a fuck it mentality, you know, you end up feeling. You've just got, like, you know, the world is chaos. It's like everyone's got a fucking opinion. It's just like, why am I scared to give mine? Like, you know, I would say rather than necessarily it be my opinion, actually, I would prefer to say it's observation. You know, I don't feel like this album is full of judgment, and that was something that was quite important to me. Like, it's not full of judgment, it's full of observation. And I think as an artist, that's the one thing that we can do, is we can observe. Rather, you know, that's the one power we've got. It's like, observe without judgment. And we've got a little, I've got a relatively modest following, but I do have a following, you know, and I have a few, you know, it's a million followers on Spotify. And it's like, you know, I've got a spotlight, like, I've got to use it responsibly. And I should fucking use it to actually do some good to the world rather than like something negative or self-indulgent.
I have two final questions. First, what is your current challenge?
My current challenge?
Mm-hmm.
Well, right now I'm stuck in fucking traffic in the central London. So my current challenge is trying to get through this fucking traffic.
And the second, how do you stay relaxed in exactly this moment?
Well, I tell you, I woke up this morning, I had a cup of coffee, and then I did 45 minutes yoga, and then I did 25 minutes of meditation, and I still feel fucking anxious. But if I didn't do that, I would be an insane mess. So there's a hell of a lot of self-maintenance that goes on. And it's indulgent, but I don't know, the thing that my job requires is calm. And, you know, I've got to try and find, some beauty, and I've got to try and find some good art, you know, make good art, and that requires a peaceful mind. So yeah.
Thank you, Tom. It sounded like my morning. I also did some yoga and meditation to feel prepared for the day, and I thank you for your time and your candor, and I hope you have a successful promo day and hopefully a really nice dinner in the end.
That's very kind of you. Thank you very much for asking interesting questions.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Bye. Cheers.
Dieser Podcast wird produziert von Podstars. Bei OMR.